side. It may not look like it sometimes, like the devil is winning this thing, but he's not. God is using him to fulfill his purposes. And no matter what the enemy is, his world's rocking and reeling, we know what the Bible says, that in the end of days, this world is going to be rocking and reeling. We know that the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. But praise God, it don't have to wax worse and worse for us. Hey, we can be excited and be happy knowing we've already won in Christ. Boy, I mean, things is looking up. Hey, the worse this world looks, the happier we are to get, because it means we're about to get out of here, amen? You know, years ago when I first got saved, I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee through the Bible. And he made this statement way back then. Boy, it's always stuck with me. I like it when God does just plant some things in your heart and mind. He said, look, we're not here to clean up the fishbowl. We're here to do a little fishing. Amen. We're not here to try to clean up this world. We're here to proclaim Jesus Christ and let the Word of God, you know, have its effect. And it will. The Word of God is not going to return void. Amen. It's going to accomplish what God pleases. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is that Word of God. And we need it, as the Word of God says, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we know He was lifted up on the cross, amen, for the sins of the world. And all the world is going to give an account for this. There's going to come a time where everyone is going to come before Him. You know what I mean? He said, I will draw all men unto me. We know at that day, when the world is burned up, been on fire, and we see that great white throne, all the nations is going to be before God. And they're going to be drawn unto Him. They're going to give an account for what they've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for, you know, for the sins they committed. Not for the heinous acts of wickedness they have done. They're going to give an account what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we need to, as a church, understand what we have in Christ Jesus. Understand how He is the incarnation of God. He is very God. And we were looking at that great mystery, and I want us to understand we're at war. And we need to understand, you know, who our enemies are. But praise God, we know who the victor is. We know who our commander in chief is. That He is in this mystery that of God, this great mystery of God. When God, you know, put this thing in His mind to have a creation, God from the very beginning knew how this thing was going to work out. He has all knowledge. He has all foreknowledge. Nothing ever takes Him by surprise. Boy, I hear people say sometimes, I don't know how God could love me. You know how God loves you? He's love. That's right. If you got any love for Him, now that's surprising, because you don't have no love. The only love you got from Him. Amen. So if you got any love for Him, that ought to shock you. I mean, really. Because, hey, without Him, we can't love. That is an attribute of God. That is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Without Him, you're just a selfish piece of flesh that only wants what satisfies the body. But praise God, when Jesus Christ comes in, makes all that difference in the world. And we ought to have love toward Him and love toward one another. Why? Because He's in us. Amen. Just like God the Father was in His Son, and the Son's in the Father, praise God, when we get saved, just like Jesus Christ, was manifest in the flesh, God ought to be being manifest through our flesh as well. We need to let God take charge. Jesus said, let this mind. Amen. It ain't a matter of if you doing anything. It's not our imitation of Christ. It's not us trying to make ourselves to be better. It's not turning over new leaves. It's just letting go and letting God. Amen. For we are His workmanship. It's plain in the book of Ephesians. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He hath afore ordained that we should walk in them. But it's not a matter. You can't do it. I hope that, you know, when we started first looking at this warfare, and I forget this from time to time, I want us to understand how much we need the Lord. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You're not going to live a godly life. There's nothing in you other than Christ. Christ is that God. We looked at that about 2 weeks ago, that word godliness, how it refers to God Himself. It's God in us. If a man's godly, it's God in him. Amen? It's not the man who's, you know, he's brought himself around. He's brought his flesh under subjection. He's done this and he, no, it's God Almighty that's done it. For we are His workmanship. Amen? We can't do nothing of ourselves. Hey, like I said, we weren't nothing but a bunch of dead dogs and dead hogs. But praise God, when Jesus Christ, who is our life, was manifested in us, amen, then there should be some changes take place. And He's going to start a work, and He's going to finish that work, amen? If we don't get excited about nothing else, if you know you're saved, you don't have to worry whether you're going to make it or not. He's going to finish what He started, amen? Jesus is no quitter. Huh? He fell under that cross, but He kept getting up, amen? He wasn't even able to do it, but God provided a man to get that cross up there, amen? God is going to make a way for us as well, too. You might fall under the weight, and praise God, that's really why we are, to bear one another's burdens. If you got a little bit of Jesus in you, and you see somebody falling, you want to help them, amen? Because you got Christ in you. Christ is going to help him. I wonder if Jesus ever, if you ever think about this, when you see a brother fall, you ever think about when Jesus was falling, going up that hill of Golgotha, carrying that cross? Huh? That was God manifest in the flesh. Amen? Boy, he chose out a man. That Roman soldier went over and snatched him out of the crowd. God knew about him, knew his name. Put him in the Word of God. I doubt very. Can you imagine? He's there beside the Lord. They're yoked together. That cross made a yoke. And he was yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And his blood got all over him. Amen. Huh? You remember when that blood got all over you? Huh? Boy, you ain't the same after that. You know what I'm saying? He took up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt in my heart and mind that this man got saved. I don't know when, but I believe he did. You couldn't have experienced what he experienced walking up that hill with Jesus Christ without it touching you. I don't believe God would have picked a man who was going to end up being a reprobate. Never. I think he picked the man that he wanted, amen? A man that was going to be touched by Jesus Christ. It was going to be changed. This thing of what we have in Christ, I really wish I could get a hold of it. And I wish I could get my mind wrapped around it. But the more I study it, the more I realize I'm a total idiot when it comes to knowing who God is. I really want to know. Paul said there ain't but one way that you're going to know Him. And that's through suffering. I mean, we're going to have to suffer some things if we're really going to know God. Jesus Christ, Paul said, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering. Because when you get yoked up to Jesus and you start fellowshipping with Him, you're going to suffer some things. Amen? And it's given unto you not only to believe on His name, but to suffer for His sake. And this is important. This is so important that we have this like. As I said, there are two mysteries that if they are so close, and that is that God was manifest in Jesus, and how that God wants to be manifest in His church, in the individuals, every believer. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, and we want to look excuse me, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verses 32. We're not going to go teaching out there, but I want to read this. 5 and verses 32. Actually, I'm going to back up. And we're very familiar with these scriptures. I'm going to actually begin in 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, we know you could put right there, with the washing of water, and you could put, if you want to, you said, by Christ Jesus, because he was the word made flesh. If you want to, because he's the one that did wash us, amen? He washed us in his own blood. And this is a bloody book you got in your hands. You'll find it from one cover, to the end of it, the blood. How the blood of Christ is what makes the difference. But notice this, he said that he might wash it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen? Lord, when we appear before God, guess what? That's what we're going to be. He's going to finish it. One of these days when Jesus Christ comes and we see him, what does that scripture say? When we see him, we'll see him as he is. Now, how is it we're able to see him as he is? What's the rest of that verse? We shall be like him. Praise God. But that fire, boy, that fire, when he looks upon us, is going to burn out the dross and the filth, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And buddy, and that's that blessed hope, praise God. One of these days, I'm not going to be what I am right now, amen? I got a blessed hope. One of these days, I'm going to be like him, praise God. I don't know. If I don't crank your motor, I don't know what will, amen? You got a dead battery. You need to get plugged into something. But if it don't set a fire in your soul, your wood's wet, amen? I'm telling you, we're going to be like him. Did you hear that? Huh? When I see him, I will see him as he is. Now, I want to see him as he is. I don't right now, but I want to. I see some little bits and pieces that makes me excited. When I see stuff like that, when I see him, I'm going to be like him. I don't know about you. I get sick of me. I get sick of my old rotten flesh. I get sick of my failures. I get sick of, you know, this brain. You know, you try to wash it. You wash it with the word of God. And you wash it and you wash it and you wash it. And buddy, you try to forget those things which are behind. But dear God, and for our good, all of us, we got that little thorn in the flesh, them little spirits that God commissioned. Hey, don't give the devil such a hard time. If he's on your case, it's by God's permission. It's to help us, to strengthen us, to humble us. If we didn't have them failures, you know what? We would think we were some. Amen? Our head would get this big round. We'd be walking around like this, couldn't even hold our head up. But praise God, one of these days, I won't have to worry about that anymore. Because that prideful nature that's in my flesh is going to be gone. And then I can know him as he is. And I won't get puffed up. I'll be meek and humble of heart, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can take it then, amen. I can take what it means to be in Christ. But right now, I got an old fallen carcass, and I just get excited when I think about these kind of verses, which says, I'm going to be like the Lord, amen. I'm going to get rid of this old rotten flesh. I'm going to get rid of that fallen nature. And if there's anything that excites me about anything, it's no more sin, amen. No more sin. We got something to tell the world about, people.
You can go to work and say, praise God. Hey, God is going to take away all my sin. It's going to be eradicated. I'm going to be like God. And they look at you and say, what? I said, yeah, that's what the Bible says. I'm excited about it. I said, hey, aren't you interested in that? No, they're not. Most of them aren't. They interested in the ball game. They're interested in, but somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to put it out there. Somebody's got to lift him up. Somebody's got to tell people who Jesus Christ really is, what he means to us. So get excited about it. It says right here, so all men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Praise God, he loves us. Amen. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, God manifest in the flesh. See, we're attached to that. We're his members of his flesh. We are attached to that and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined into his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Now, I said the other day, it wasn't but one great mystery that Paul called great, and that was great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And here he's saying he wants to be manifest in the flesh in what? His body. It's kind of like that great commandment, that we are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then Jesus said the second is like unto it. What do you mean like unto it? In other words, it are to be the same. The same way we love God, you know what we're supposed to do? The Bible says, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? See how them two are connected? The love of God and love towards your neighbor, toward your brothers, toward your sisters, toward lost humanity. See, we married up. It married up right there. Because it says right here that we are one flesh. We're made one flesh in Christ Jesus. And as he loved the world, the church are to be loving the world. We as individuals are to be loving the world and giving ourselves for their salvation and making that difference. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And that's where we're going to be looking at a lot of stuff there. And I hope it's a blessing to you, as it was to me as I was studying over this over the last couple of days. Look in Colossians chapter 1 and look down here in verses 27. Colossians 1 verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, Christ in you. He's here. Is God in the room? Is God in the room? Man, you know what I want? I want him to be in the midst today. I want to go out there in church, and he not only is in me, but I want him to be in the midst. I want that fellowship to be with one another, hey, in the spirit, towards God, in such a way that it's evident, it's known, it's felt, that God is being manifest, amen, to everybody, to the church, that he's being manifest to other believers, that he's being manifest to unbelievers, amen, that there's no doubt that God's in the house. That's what we need. We need a manifestation of God through his body, through his church, that there's no doubt that God, that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. Amen? That's why this is so important, that we get an understanding of who He is and what we have in Him. Boy, I'm going to get a brand new body. I'm going to see Him as He is, and I'm excited about that. But how about what we got right now? That He's in me. He's working in me. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I started the work. I'm going to finish it. Amen. And one of these days, you're going to be complete. He's going to finish the job. You're perfect in Him, but praise God, He's not going to be satisfied till you're perfect entire. Not only in your inner man, but in our body. One day, praise God, we're going to have a perfect mind, going to have a perfect heart, going to have a perfect body, and our soul will be complete in Christ Jesus, perfect, amen. And boy, that's exciting to me, and I want us to grab a hold of it, and boy, and just I don't know how to. Oh, they tried to have that pep rally the other night, you know. That was pretty good, amen. Boy, when you start really thinking about what you have in Christ Jesus, you know what happens to you? Every time? You get a smile on your face. When you're really thinking about Christ is in you and really lay hold of it, don't it make you happy? When you really think about His promise, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, does it make you happy? When you really think about who Jesus Christ is, what He's provided, what He's doing, hey, when you think about one of these days, all these bunch of rebels that hates God, you know, and fighting the church, like that crowd trying to get Rock of Ages, you know, from reaching their children, and you know one of these days, hey, Jesus Christ is going to put His foot on the neck of the devil, amen, and it's all going to come to an end. Don't that make you excited? I get excited. It makes me happy. No, this ain't one of these days, praise God, it's going to be made right. And boy, and we need to be thinking about these things. Get our hearts up. Get our heads up. Man, yeah, don't let the devil beat us down, walk around like this. I remember that old preacher one year, he knew who he was addressing, a bunch of preachers, a bunch of ministers, a bunch of guys there in the Rock of Ages who was... you know, who were missionaries for Rock of Ages, he told him, said, come on, get your head up. He said, you got your mouth dragging the ground like a front end loader, pulling up gravel. He said, look, don't you know what you have in Christ? He said, I know who I'm talking to. I hear you talk, amen. Hey, what does it matter? When this thing's all over, what's it really going to matter who gets voted in as president? No matter who gets voted in, God can make all the difference in the world. There ain't nothing He can do that God does not allow Him to do. Amen. Nothing. So if He gets in there and He's a big old devil, and He comes and He fights against the church, and we know what it says in Revelation, how the devil is given authority of God to make war against the saints. And what does the Bible say happens? He overcomes them. That's in the Scripture, is it not? Amen? He's going to martyr them. God's going to do it. You know why? Because He's going to give them. He's got a special, specific reward He's going to give them. So why in the world are we going to fret about it? If God chooses to martyr us, why fret about it? What is it going to change what we have in God? Huh? No, it's not going to change nothing. That's the reason why we need to lift our heads up, knowing we got a blessed hope. It cannot change. We got a foundation, hey, that is sure. Amen? My anchor holds. Amen? Not because I'm holding on. I've heard people say, boy, well, I'm holding on. Well, I'm hanging. I'm not holding on enough. I'm just hanging. God's holding on, amen. And I'm just hanging, so that's fine, you know. God's got me curing, amen. He's got me out in the smokehouse. He's curing me out, amen. And one of these days, I might make a good country ham. Who knows? But praise God. God is going to complete what He started in us, and we don't need to be all down in the mouth. He said, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Hey, that make you excited? Whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Praise God, that bunch of dead dogs. God revealed this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I'm gonna go over this whole chapter because it's worthy. And you'll see how this plays out as we go through here. This mystery that God manifests in the flesh. Now God is being manifested in the church, and God wants to be manifest in every individual. And you can read it through that chapter that I was reading. I can see it over and over again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice his. Why is he an apostle of Jesus Christ? By the will of God. Amen? See there? God's going to have His purposes. Paul said, it ain't my will that I was an apostle. I didn't make myself what I am. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. It's God that chose me. He said, I didn't choose Him. Amen. Boy, he was going out to persecute church, kill the church. I mean, he was having them arrested, thrown in jail, having them executed, whatever he could get, however he could persecute them. He hated it. He hated the church. And he didn't realize it, but it was God that he hated. He was ignorant. He didn't know that his God was the devil. He thought his God was God. You know what I'm saying? But what made the difference? God. Amen. God. And God sent a messenger to him to tell him the truth. Now, God's out here working in this world. And if God doesn't work, then it ain't going to happen. Now, God will use us to take the word to people, but I'm going to tell you something. It's God that does all the saving. It's God that does all the convicting. And nobody ever come to God apart unless God draws him. Amen. And boy, the old Apostle Paul said right here, he said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he said, and Timotheus, our brother, says to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae. Now, he said to the faithful brethren. Is man faithful? I want you to think about your own faithfulness. Huh? I guarantee there ain't a person in here that said, God ain't been faithful to me. No, you'll all say what? God has been faithful to me. Now, if I was to ask you to say, how faithful have you been toward God? Oh, I just seen some heads already going down a little bit. I can't say I've always been that faithful. But you know what makes me faithful? It's God in you. To the faithful. Amen. Because He's faithful. He'll never forsake us. Amen. He'll keep on working. He'll keep on, every time we fall, every time we stumble, every time we stagger, He's faithful. And He'll work in us. To do what? To make us faithful. Because the more we're filled with God, the more faith we have. And the more we'll walk with Him. And buddy, He works. He takes that word and He fills us with faith. For faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you. Amen. Well, I like that. Grace be unto you. I mean, I think about it. What He just said unto them. He didn't say justice be unto you. He didn't say what you deserve be unto you. I mean, I was talking to Brother John this morning. You ever notice? Look over there at that church of in Corinthians. Everybody thinks about them as what? Being the carnal church, amen? The fleshly church. The sinful church. They were involved in all kinds of carnal activities, you know what I mean? Immoral activities. But you never one time see Paul talk about them like they weren't believers. He talked to them. He talked about them like these were saved people who need to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that they were believers. But now let's go over and look in the book of Galatians. Now, you know, I'm not turning there, but just think about it, Galatians, okay? In Galatians, you got a bunch of moral, upright, religious people. And you know what he said? I'm afraid of you. He was afraid. Now, he didn't have no doubts about them Corinthians who were having problems with sin, because he saw that they knew that their confidence was in Christ only. But you come over in Galatians, they're legalists. They were kind of like, see, the old Corinthians are like them two guys that went down to pray, one a publican, one a Pharisee. And the old Corinthian, he falls down there and he says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I got all this mess in my life, and I know I ought not, but God, you know." And God, now, he come up and Jesus said he was what? He was justified. Because he admitted the truth. Now, the old Galatian, he goes down there and he falls down there on the altars. "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like them Corinthians over there. You know how wicked they living and doing this and doing that and everything. And praise God, I mean, I've been circumcised, I've did this, I've done that." And God said, he left the same way he came. And that's what Paul was trying to say about, you know, what makes us right with God is God, amen? It's not our self-righteousness. It's the righteousness of God in us that produces true righteousness. True righteousness. True righteousness will never go out and judge another. True righteousness judges right here. Looks at our own self. Tells the truth. That's what makes us right. When you admit the truth. Well, see, they thought that they were right. And God said, "You're wrong. You're not right. You're self-right. You're self-righteous." And God wants to be plain and sure it is that our hope, our security is in what God has done for us alone. So grace be unto you, not what you deserve, but because of my good favor towards you, I give you grace. He said, and notice this, grace unto you and peace. Think about that word peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Who's the King of Peace? If you have peace, where did it come from? That's right, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ should produce peace in us. When we realize what we have in Christ, we can be at peace. Hey, if you think you're trying to do it on your own, and you find out, and you look at your own selves, that hey, man, I got the right color shoes on. I got my suit and tie on. You know, I don't cuss, I don't chew, and I don't mess with them that do. You know, and you looking at yourself, you can't have peace. You're always worrying about what you do and how you do. But I'm going to tell you something. Our peace is not found in our behavior. Our peace is found in what Christ has done for us. And when we get that kind of peace, He'll work in us. When we get that kind of trust in Him, He can work in us. But until we do, We're always doing it ourselves. We're always working. We always be struggling. We always, you know, always be our workmanship. It always be our confidence. In who? In Him? Or in what we're doing? What we look like? What we talk like? Now, I got no confidence in the flesh at all. I got no confidence in Dave Leslie. Not one bit. If Dave Leslie got what he deserved, he'd be laying in hell right now with his back broke. But he said, "Grace unto you and peace." Now notice this. Peace from God our Father. I don't know. Did I just read what I thought I just read? to God, our Father. Who's your Father? He ain't in Rome. He's not the Pope of Rome. He's not my Father. The Creator of everything just said in that Bible right there, God, our Father. Amen. Boy, don't that give you some kind of confidence? Man, that ought to make you ready to storm hell with a water pistol. Amen. God's my Father. And God ain't gonna let His children get all beat up. He'll whip us when we need it, but He ain't gonna let nobody hurt us. You go mess with my youngins, you'll find out the way a father is. Somebody mess with your youngins, we'll find out how a father is. What do you think when the devil starts messing with us? What do you think God's gonna do? Amen. He's gonna defend us. He might let us get a bloody nose. He might get us get a black eye. You know what I mean? But that's the way it was when I was young. You didn't keep kids out of all the fights and struggles. You know what I mean? You know what you did? You just encouraged them. Just do the right thing. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Don't let them just run all over you and beat you up. But make sure you're doing right. You're not at fault. Amen? But I'll tell you what. When it come to a point that somebody started messing over them, an older boy or an older girl or an adult messing with my children, there's a different something different's going to happen then. You know, I'm going to show up. Be like old boy in church one night. There was a set of stairs. He was about to go down them. Up in my daughter's face, just screaming at her. Rawr, rawr, rawr. I said, "You better get out of her face right now. You let no man get her and scream in my children's face." And God is our Father. He's going to take care. He's going to watch over us. He is faithful. God, our Father. We gave, and notice this. Peace from God, our Father. Notice this. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, but notice what he says. We give thanks to God. And I couldn't help but notice this. We give thanks to God and. That was, to me, that was interesting. It didn't say we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think on that a little bit. Let's go home and stew on that a little bit. He said, we give thanks unto God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. In other words, that first verse is saying, we give thanks to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God. But then he says, and we give thanks to the person of the Father. Just like Jesus is the person of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one's a person. All three are God. He said, I give thanks to God and. Why does he give thanks to and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it was the Father that gave his Son. Amen. He gave up his Son to suffer in our place. So he gives thanks to all of God. But he also gives thanks to the person of the Father right there. Boy, this Bible is rich. And, buddy, we need every word. The Bible says, hey, we live, hey, not by bread alone, but by every word. Boy, that and is important there. Them little conjunctive words and everything. Don't just pass over them. Think about these things. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice this, praying always for you. Wow. Paul said, I'm always praying for you. Now, where did that come from? Again, where did that come from? You think it come from Paul? That's right. The Lord Jesus said, I ever live He ever liveth to make intercession for you, for us. You see, the person of Christ in us ever lives to make intercession. And He wants us to have part in that ministry. He wants us, you know, yoke up with Him. That's why He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me. As I am always an intercessory prayer, I want that to be manifest in my church. I want that manifestation. I want God being manifest in you, that you're the kind of person who ever lives to make intercession for the brethren. Hey, especially those of the household of faith, but He said also to all men. And so you see God being manifest through every one of these verses. We give thanks to God the Father. Since we heard of your faith, notice this, in Christ Jesus. And of the, there's no faith out of Christ Jesus, but your faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean in the that your trust, that your faith is towards Christ Jesus. It means that you're in Christ, and that's where your faith is found. When you're in Him. When you're in Him, you got the faith of the Son of God living in you. You got the faith of the Son of God, which teaches you the doctrine, the word of faith, and produces faith in you to do what God wants you to do. And brother, you can't do it of ourselves. There's no way. Well, I guess we're out of time. I didn't hear a bell. Did anybody hear a bell? Yeah, I didn't. Man, I can't hear. I can't hear. I'm getting old. But we only got may scratched it a little bit. But I want us to look, and I want to encourage you this week. And I know Brother Joe has went over this book time and time again. But I want you to look down through this book this week, if you would. Take time, at least one night, and look through there and find out how many places you appear in there and what God says that you have in Christ. And how that God wants to be manifest in this world through you. Man, it just blessed my heart when I look and see the power that God, we just don't really realize what God has given us, I think. Sometimes I just think I'm so dumbed down by this world, I just don't really understand what God has given us and given me in Christ Jesus. You get taking it for granted. You get been saved for so and so many years, and we all can get subject to this. Get weary in the battle. I think about battles that Jim had to fight right here in the county, right here. You know what? Very few people appreciated it. Very few people appreciate it. I appreciate it. I don't know about y'all, but I appreciate it. I was telling people this week, some things I see is happening. You know, and I said, hey, man, my county commissioner fought against some of that stuff. Man, they falling after it hand over fist now. Just sucking up to this wasteful, destructive, destroying the schools, destroying the county. It's just insane. But praise God, we're still on the winning side. Amen. But Jim ain't the county commissioner anymore. But I tell you one thing, they're going to give an account. They're going to give an account. I mean, I think they heard some truth. I think they're going to give an account. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.